Well, good morning, church family. Good to be with you this morning. For visitors here, my name is Pastor Laura Dilley. I'm one of the pastors at Orchard Hill, and it's nice to get to dive into God's Word. If you're joining us, we are mid-series in a series called Hearing God's Voice. First week, Pastor Greg told us the good news that we can know God, that we can hear His voice, that God longs to have a relationship with us. He is speaking. He wants to be heard by His people. And last week, Pastor Bob reminded us that the best way that we can hear the voice of God is by living into the transformation, by being made new, transformed of our minds through the Holy Spirit. And in that path, we can hear and understand the will of God, the way He's pointing us to walk in for His glory and for our good. This morning, I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us as we, His people, keep seeking His voice. Keep asking the Lord to speak into our lives simply with what is the posture of our hearts when we come before our Almighty God, listening for Him to speak? What is the attitude, the posture, the position of our hearts as we ask Him to give us His word? And we're going to ask that question today and hear God's answer through John 10. So would you turn with me to John 10, starting in verse 1. Here, Jesus reminds us of who He is, who we are, and what that means for us as we listen to His voice. So let's read the word of the Lord together from John 10. We're going to read 1 through 6, and then we're going to jump down. There's so much, this is like my favorite passage in the Bible. There's so much we could get to in John 10 today. But it's Party Popper Sunday too, so you don't want to hear me talk for the whole morning. We've got other things to celebrate. So we'll do 1 through 6 and we'll jump down to 14 and 15. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his sheep, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. And then 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sheep, do you know his voice? He's speaking. And this morning we ask, what is the posture of our hearts as we, his sheep, seek to hear the voice of the shepherd? And the first, I think, that scripture reveals to us, the first posture of our heart as we come to listen for the voice of the shepherd, is a posture of confession. We recognize we are sheep. We are not the shepherd. He is God, in other words, and we are not. We are the creation of his hands and only alive because of his very breath within us. He alone, as we just read, is the only true shepherd because he entered in through the gate. And that gives us perspective on who we are seeking, doesn't it? On whose voice we are asking to hear. He's the one who laid down his life for the sheep. He's the one who created the sheep. He's the one who guides, directs, and sustains the sheep. And when we consider for a second what a difference there is between a shepherd and the sheep he leads, that's a pretty great difference, isn't it? Who's a little bit higher? Who are you going to trust more, the sheep or the shepherd? There's a great difference there, isn't there? The shepherd is higher. The shepherd is more knowledgeable. The shepherd is a person in that reference, right? There's a vast difference between who the shepherd is and who the sheep are. So when we're aware of who God is and who we are in comparison, his worth, his strength, his glory versus who we are, the creation of his hands, that moves us to a place of confession to say, wow, you are God and I am not. Right? What we just talked about, the holiness of God. When we come face to face with that, we can do nothing but confess that you are God and you are good. And this is the example Jesus gives us. His disciples come to him in Matthew 6. And what do they ask him? They say, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know what's the right way to pray, right? And what are Jesus's very first words as he teaches them what we now call the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? The first words out of Jesus's mouth are a confession of who God is. Our Father, he is Father. He is God, we are not. Our Father in heaven. God is in heaven, enthroned, ruling, glorious above all. Hallowed be thy name, holy, consecrated, worthy is your name alone. How do we pray? Jesus says, start with confessing who God is. And as we do that, as we recognize the greatness of our God, we're struck by something else, right? That we are sheep, that we're not that great. In comparison to a holy God, it's laughable that we would ever give our own name praise. And it brings us to recognition of our own sin, doesn't it? So we start with confessing who God is, and that leads us to confessing our hearts before the Lord. Isaiah has this experience. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has this vision of God, and it says, he sees him in his temple, and just the train, just the bottom of the robes of God fills the whole temple with glory. And Isaiah sees this picture of what's going on in heaven and is overwhelmed by it, is overwhelmed by the holiness and the glory of God. And what does Isaiah say? What's the first thing out of his mouth after he's struck with who God is? Whoa! Not like, whoa, which I'm sure that was it too, but woe is me. Because why? I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah, when he looked at the glory of God, he was struck with his own sin in comparison. And Isaiah got on his face in confession, recognizing God is God, I am not. He is perfect, I am not. And in his repentance and confession, Isaiah finds forgiveness from the Lord. Friends, this is our posture. As we seek the voice of the Lord, we say, God, I don't know what you have to say to me. I want to hear what you have to say, but I recognize that you know because you are the shepherd, I am not. You are God, I am not. You are holy, I am not. And then we say, and God, because I am not those things, I need you. I repent. I seek your forgiveness because I want to be able to hear your voice. I don't want there anything to stand in between me and you to impede what you have to say to me. So forgive me, holy God, and give me ears to hear. Confession. That is the posture of our hearts as we wait expectantly, as we stand before our good shepherd as his sheep and wait for him to lead us with his voice. The second posture of our hearts that we come to, seeking the voice of God, is a posture of surrender. A posture of surrender. Sheep don't tell the shepherd where to go. I don't know if you know that. Sheep listen. They follow when the shepherd speaks. In other words, they are surrendered to whatever path the shepherd calls them out onto. Listen again to what scripture tells us in John 10. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me. It says, the watchman opens the gate for him being Jesus, the good shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, and when he has brought out all his sheep, he goes on ahead of him, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. His sheep follow him. The sheep don't say, okay, shepherd, here's where I think we should go today. The sheep don't follow him because he says, guess what, sheepy, sheepy? We're going to your favorite meadow today. The sunny one with the flowers and the babbling brook, the place you've been asking me all week to go. The sheep follow him because they know his voice and they listen to him. We too, just like a sheep, must have a posture of surrender when we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. As we are seeking when he speaks, we must have a posture of surrender, willing to go, not necessarily where we want to go for the day, but where the shepherd's voice calls us to follow. Are you willing to surrender wherever that voice calls you to go? Because we say all the time, I just want to know what God wants, right? How many of us, have you ever been in that position where you are desperate? God, just speak to me. I just want to know what you want for my life. Anybody? Just me? Okay, just me and Dave. Okay, more of us. Cool. Right? You're so desperate. You're like, I don't know what to do. All I want to do is know what you want for me. And then he speaks and you're like, but that's not what I wanted. Wait. Maybe that's not what God said. Maybe I misheard him, right? Are we really willing to listen and hear and surrender to follow whatever the voice of the shepherd calls us to? That's what seeking the voice of the Lord is about. It's about surrender. It's about hearing what will bring him glory, hearing and trusting what will be best for us and saying, okay. It's not a transactional genie where he says, okay, you've got three wishes. What do you want today, little sheep? It's about surrendering to the voice of God. And the truth is, sometimes the voice of God speaks, and it speaks things that are hard, right? Have any of you been there? Speaks things that are refining for us. How many of us like to be in the refiner's fire? It speaks things that, did you hear me? Because that's not exactly what I asked you for, God, is it? But we have to be willing to surrender to what the voice of the shepherd has to say. There's a time in my life where I was seeking the voice of the shepherd desperately. I was graduating college with an undergraduate degree in psychology. If you don't know, there's not a lot of open doors for really great jobs with an undergraduate degree in psychology. So I had no jobs lined up. I was graduating. I had no plans. And then I got a job offer from Camp Geneva, a wonderful Christian camp I'd done ministry at for the last two summers. And I was psyched because I thought, okay, I can do ministry with my Christian friends. I can experience God's love again in a cool, crazy way this year. And then I'll spend the summer also figuring out what's next. Well, as I started to seek God's voice, and say, God, you want? I want confirmation. Tell me yes that you want me to say yes to this job, right? God started speaking something different. And I had no peace in my heart over the 2 weeks that I sought the voice of the Lord on whether or not I should take that job. No peace. And I knew that meant I had to say no to what I think to my boss at the time thought I was crazy, because I clearly had no other options. So I said no to a job that seemed perfect. I had no other plans. But little did I know that God was about to open a door that would change the trajectory of my life forever. In surrendering to his voice by saying no to what seemed like the perfect opportunity, I was able to say yes to the opportunity that showed up 1 week later that I'd never expected in my life, when I was driving in my car, wandering, hopeless at that point, and I heard an advertisement on Christian radio for a Christian malnutrition center in Guatemala looking for interns. And the Holy Spirit literally said, pull over and call now. And because God had been clear and I listened even when it was scary, I had this opportunity. They said yes. Within a week, I was planning to go to Guatemala. I had no idea what was going on, but God used that to set my path into ministry, change my entire life. And because I surrendered to the voice, there's been plenty of times where I ignored God, but because in this instance, I surrendered to the voice of the shepherd, the path he led me down. That's the only reason I'm in front of you right now. It's the only reason I get to call you brothers and sisters and know your faces now is because God brought me on his good and righteous path that I never saw coming. When we surrender to the voice of the shepherd, the good things that he has for us are beyond our comprehension. Jesus is our example of this kind of surrender. We talked earlier about how he's teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, right? And what does he go on to say in teaching the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, say it with me if you know it, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The sheep's kingdom come, little sheepies will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. After we confess who our God is, our next posture, surrender. Your kingdom, your will, work it through me, God. Right? Jesus is our example of this in his life. In Luke 22, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, about to go to the cross, and he is praying. He is seeking the guidance and the direction and the voice of the Father. And in Luke 22:42, he says this, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. The cup being the journey to the cross he's about to experience, right? And then he ends with this, not my will, but yours be done. If there was anyone, I have to believe, in human history that wanted to not surrender, that wanted their answer, that wanted to hear what they wanted to hear from God, I believe it was Jesus in this moment about to go to the cross. Not because he didn't love us, not because he wasn't God, but he knew what he was about to do. He knew he was about to be beaten and scorned and mocked and spit on. He knew he was about to face physical agony. He knew his friends were about to turn their backs on him. And he knew, worst of all, he was about to drink the cup of God's wrath for the sins of all of humanity. If there was ever anyone in human history that had a right and a reason to want to hear a different voice and a reason to not surrender to the voice of God, it was Jesus Christ. And yet, what do we inevitably know? God's voice, the voice of the Father, spoke to Jesus. Drink this cup. Jesus was told, and he listened to the voice of the Father. Despite the difficulty of what he knew lay ahead of him, he was surrendered to what God had spoken to him. What if Jesus hadn't surrendered? What if Jesus hadn't listened to the voice of God and went instead with what was easier? No, he wouldn't be God. We know that. But hypothetically, we wouldn't be here. We'd have no reason to stand up and rejoice this morning because there would have been no Savior. But thanks be to God that Jesus lived, surrendered to the voice of the Father and gives us an example of how we too can find surrender and life as we follow whatever the Lord's voice speaks to us. And the reason that Jesus, despite the most difficult thing anyone has ever faced, was coming around the corner, the reason Jesus could surrender to the voice of the Father was because of what John 10:15 says. Listen to this. Jesus says, the Father knows me, and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus surrendered to the difficult will of the Father because he knew the Father. He knew the Father's heart. He knew the Father was good and kind and intentional. He knew, as King David declared in Psalm 18, as for God, his way is perfect. Jesus knew that the will of the Father was going to be glory for the Father and salvation for us. Because Jesus knew the heart of the Father, because Jesus believed who God was and who he had seen him to be, he received whatever the voice of the Father spoke to him in surrender. And we praise God that he did. That's why we're here. And my prayer is that's the third posture of our heart too. As we go in listening for the voice of the shepherd, we go in with belief, brothers and sisters. We go in believing he really is who he says he is. Not just that God exists, right? There's tons of scripture we could go over this morning about when you're coming in prayer and seeking God, believe that he exists. But not just that we believe that God exists, but we believe he is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do, and he is as good as he has promised us. Read Psalm 23, friends, this week, today. Go read Psalm 23 and hear the words of David talking all about the goodness and the strength of who his good shepherd is and how he leads him in good paths as his humble sheep. He proves his goodness over and over to us, and we believe it, friends. So when you come seeking the voice of God, don't just confess, don't just surrender, but believe. Believe who our God is. If you need to go back, remind yourself, dwell in the scriptures, go through your journals or talk with a friend, remind yourself about what you have seen to be true of our good God, and then go in seeking, assured that good shepherd who has guided you in goodness every step of the way, even as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you had no reason to feel any evil because your God, your good God was with you. Remind yourself and walk in seeking, believing that whatever it is going to be for his glory, and he's going to work it out for your good in your life. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. This isn't prosperity gospel. Doesn't mean it's not going to cost us, and doesn't mean it might not be hard, but whatever the voice of that good shepherd speaks, it's going to reflect his glory, and it's going to reflect his goodness as it plays out its purpose in your life. And finally, last posture of our heart, we come seeking the voice of God with earnest hearts. We come postured in earnestness. Whether sheep realize it or not, they have a desperate reliance on their good shepherd, don't they? They need him. They need the God that's bigger than them, right? They need their shepherd. We need a God that's bigger than us. We need a God that no matter what he speaks, we can trust his voice. We can surrender to it. We can believe that is a good God, and that's the voice we need to hear. So when we seek the voice of God in our lives, we do it earnestly, like our lives depend on it, because they do. We see this truth written all over scripture. In Jeremiah 29, the prophet declares these words from God. It says, his people, God's people, will find them when they do what? When they seek him with their whole heart. It's not half-hearted, right? It's not falling asleep while you're praying, asking for God's direction that I am often guilty of. That is an earnestness. That's a desperation that is wholehearted. God, I need to know what you are speaking because I want your path to life. So reveal it to me, right? There's an earnestness and a desperation. This is the example we get of prayer in the parable in Luke 11, when Jesus gives this parable of this man in the middle of the night banging on his friend's door over and over again. And his friend says, go away. We're all in bed. It's late. Everything's locked. I don't have anything for you, right? But the man keeps knocking and keeps knocking and keeps knocking. And finally, out of his persistence and his boldness, his friend opens the door and gives him what he wants. Jesus talks about boldness in prayer, right? When you're seeking God, come earnestly. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Be bold. Be persistent and consistent. That is the example we are given. That is what the posture of our hearts are to be, tenaciously asking the Father for what we need for his voice to speak. And our good Father, he's going to answer, isn't he? He says, my sheep know my voice. He's not hiding it from them. Does a shepherd hide his voice from his sheep? He calls. They follow. It's not as complicated as we make it, right? There's so many examples of earnestness in scripture and coming into prayer. One of my friends recently, she's been praying for something, for God's will, for God's voice, over something that's going on in her life. And I was talking to her the other day, and I found out that she has given up something specific. She's fasting from something specific in her life so that every time she denies that thing, she's reminded to seek the voice of God for that thing in her life that she needs his direction on, that she's waiting for him to move on. I was like, what a picture of earnestness, right? We're not just going, okay, God, half-heartedly as I'm in the shower going through my to-do list for the day. Oh, yeah, by the way, I also need to know what you think about this. Giving up something to be more focused on being able to hear the voice of God. That's earnestness, right? That's how we come before God. Earnestly, like our lives depend on it, trusting that he is going to speak his good voice to us, the sheep of his pasture. So brothers and sisters, that's our encouragement today. We come before a shepherd who's speaking to us. And as we do, we come confessing that he is good, he is God, and we are not. We come surrendered to his goodness and his plan. We come believing in that goodness and that his way is perfect, trusting in what he has for us. And we keep seeking it until we hear him speak like he says he will. So as you go throughout your week, I just pray that this is the posture of your heart. This is the posture of our hearts. That you know, this isn't a formula, right? This isn't the quadratic equation where A squared plus B squared equals C squared. No, that's Pythagorean theorem. Thank you. I love my nerdy friends with me. But it's not an equation where, oh, you have to do it just right. We have a God of grace and mercy. He sees the posture of our hearts, right? But that you come in this humble way, knowing that the shepherd does speak to his sheep. Woo! He does! And waiting earnestly for him to speak. Amen? Amen. Father God, we just thank you that you are a God who speaks to your people. You are not hidden. You are not silent. God, you are inviting us to hear your voice. And good shepherd, we ask that you would speak clearly to us. Because God, you alone are worthy. Your way alone leads to life, and we want to find it. So we humble our hearts before you. Teach us to live in confession. Teach us to live surrendered, believing, and teach us to earnestly seek you out. In the name of Jesus, amen.